Right, now we come on to the message. And this is the final part. You might breathe a sigh of relief there. The final part in the DNA and culture series. I was just saying a bit earlier that I'm a bit tired of that screen with the DNA on, but you won't see it again after today. This is the final part, and we've looked at, week after week, we've looked at what defines our identity as Christians and as a church. Now, I'm quite a fan of TV crime drama, and my current favourite is NCIS. The whole DNA theme reminds me of their forensic investigations and the whole issue of evidence. The whole premise of the program centres around using scientific forensic methods to uncover enough evidence, often DNA, to establish the truth. Now, I'm not recommending NCIS to you in particular. It's not a particularly godly program. There's a lot of murder and violence and grisly autopsies. But the thing I find really compelling is not the action, not the blood and guts. It's the teamwork, because these people behave like a team, and it's the leadership. They have such strong bonds between them, such strong values, and they demonstrate these values of one anothering. Actually, what Steve was talking about the other week, they actually do the one anothering, and I was thinking as well, I've watched a little bit of football lately. I'm not naturally a football fan, but I have watched England play. And what is different about the team at the moment, what is different about this new manager, is they're working as a team. You know, I've been interested. I've been having a little look at what he's been doing to train them, not necessarily in their football skills, but in their teamwork, to build relationships with them, to one another. And you saw that on the pitch as well. You saw them, you know, big hugs all round, you know, not just for the stars, but for all of them. And the way the manager comforted the Colombian team player that had missed the penalty, that was just outstanding. And people have picked up on this. You know, I'm not saying these are Christians or they're particularly Christian values, but they are demonstrating one anothering in a quite marked way. And I think people have noticed, and I think it's good. I think it's great. And if we end up winning through one anothering, that's even better. So that was a slight diversion there. But coming back to us, we have to display enough evidence of our faith in our ordinary everyday lives for people to see that what we believe is true. It's evidence and truth. Do you remember that poster some years ago that said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That used to be stuck up on that door there, and I used to stare at it every week in my early days here. It used to challenge me every time I looked at it. So how do you feel about it? It might be, for you younger members, it might be something you've only just seen, but I saw it time and time again and was challenged by it. So I'm going to be looking at the DNA series that we've been through as a whole and asking ourselves some questions. Although I started preparing this message some weeks ago, my focus has altered somewhat as a result of some of the things that God's been saying to us, particularly as a leadership team lately. And I'll unpack some of that as I go along. So here's a list of the titles of the DNA series on values again. These are the ones that we've actually covered. We planned for a few more, but the ones we've actually covered are Getting Stuck In, Prayer is God's Idea, Loving Oakham and Blessing Rutland, Activate Your Prayer Life, Make Space for the Poor, Generosity and Giving, Encouragement, Discipleship, Hospitality, and Word and Spirit. And if you've missed any of those, they're all up on the website, so you can have a listen. I think you'll agree that the series has been great, and it's been wonderful to have so many different speakers involved with their own styles and a chance to look at some of these values that we've probably taken for granted, just to look at them in a bit more detail. So this message isn't going to be a rehash of everything you've already heard, but I'm going to try and distill down to the basics what this says about us, what it says to us about us as a church, the church we are and the church we would like to be. It's no good having these things written down somewhere as a list of things we think are important if we aren't living them out. I feel, as we address these topics and try to answer some of these questions around who we are and who we would like to be, at some point, God stepped into the conversation and said, "Really?" It's certainly true for me as a leader lately that as soon as we start looking at any matter concerning church, that we end up with more questions than answers. I think that's a song title, isn't it? I'm showing my age here. It's a song, I had to look it up. It's a song from 1972, and there might be a prize for someone who can tell me who sang it, but anyway. So perhaps what I'm saying this morning is that we're looking for evidence, the facts, the truth, reality. But you're not interested in my opinion on these values. You want to know what God says. So just to fill in a little bit of background, in November 2017, last year, we signed up as a leadership team to the New Wine Leadership Training Program. It's called a learning community because a number of churches are going through it together. It lasts for 2 years and you attend 4 sessions spread out over the 2 years. We started with 6 team members, the trustees from the elders and the ops team, and we're extending it to all 8 trustees for the next time. It's being organised by Holy Trinity Leicester, which is a regional training centre for new wine. So in November last year, we were challenged right from the beginning to produce a vision statement and a set of values. So out of that, we came up with loving Jesus, loving people, and loving Oakham and Rutland, which is up on our website now. That came out of it, and also the sermon series on the values, which we're calling our DNA that we've just been through. And we were almost at the end of that values sermon when we met again in Leicester 3 weeks ago, and God set us a new challenge. Now this slide, the writing is a bit small, but I shall tell you what it says. Steve started to touch on this on Sunday mornings when he spoke about up, in, and out. And there's the diagram that they used with some of the writing that's a bit small, but you can see the up, in, and the out, I think. It's not a difficult concept to grasp. Our Christian life is made up of 3 types of relationship. The upward one with God that they've labelled passionate spirituality. That's what you can't read. The inward one with ourselves in church, radical community, and the outward one with others outside the church in the community, missionary zeal. Ideally, everything we do should have a balance of up, in, and out. And you'll notice that the triangle is deliberately angled like an arrowhead pointing outwards. That's quite deliberate. So let's relate this to what God says. This isn't a clever teaching from a business seminar or management theory or lifestyle coaching or even football coaching for that. This is the heart of God's message to us, distilling it down to the essentials and the basics. So if we look at the first and greatest commandment, which we find in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus, speaking to an expert in the law, says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments." This means that our first priority is to love God with all our hearts, souls, and mind, and to love others as ourselves. And we know from the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus meant by neighbor people who are like us and people who are not like us, everybody. Our love for others will flow out of the love and obedience towards our Father God. And just to make it perfectly clear, Jesus, when he was about to leave the disciples in what we've come to call the Great Commission, said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And Jesus encompasses up, in, and out in these two commands, which should be perfectly plain to us. We can't argue with what he said or what he meant. So through the course of the day in Leicester 3 weeks ago, we were challenged as individuals, as leaders, and as a church. Do we have that balance between up, in, and out right in our lives, in our church? Are we pursuing our own plans rather than his? Are we doing things our way rather than his? And this is where God says, really? In one of my favourite Bible passages, which you will have heard me mention, the short and very succinct book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai delivers a very short but powerful message from God to the people. He says, consider your ways. Now, when God tells you to consider your ways, you need to understand that it isn't a suggestion and that there isn't the remotest possibility that you're going to be able to say, okay, I've considered my ways and I think I'm fine. Not the remotest possibility. So that Saturday afternoon, as a team, we had one of those moments when God pulls you up short, stops you in your tracks, and hits you with the very strong impression that he's saying something significant. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those moments. Spiritually, our foundations were shaken. But I'll leave that thought with you as we're still unpacking it and we'll be coming back to it over the next 3 months. And the leadership will be praying these things through and calling you to pray too as a church so that we have a better idea of what God has actually said to us, and what it means and how we need to respond, what we need to do about it. So that was the introduction. This isn't going to be a long message. I'm not going to go over the talks in the sermon series again, but I'm going to try and bring out the essence of what we're trying to demonstrate as the body of Christ. Can people see these Christ-like characteristics in us? Are we being salt and light? What evidence is there of Christ's life inside of us, the presence of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God? I have to stress that I've been challenged on this, and we're not saying that we're anything like fully displaying all these values, but that it's an indication of what we feel is important to us and what we feel God has highlighted to us in recent months. So, most important, number one, we're committed to getting people properly connected to God, the first and greatest commandment. Spiritual growth is essential. It's not an option. Taking people from wherever they are and going deeper. And we need to see evidence of that, what the Bible calls fruit. Equally important. And also number one. Yes, I have got two number ones. And it's the Great Commission again. Establishing God's kingdom, making disciples, seeing kingdom values outworked in our community and in people's lives, seeing evidence of God's love and blessing. The concrete evidence of this would be seeing the list of values that we mentioned clearly displayed in ourselves, in what we do on Sundays and in the other 6 days as well. There's no day of rest for displaying God's character. These values and characteristics are all the outworking of God's agape love. Loving God, loving one another, loving others, our neighbours. God's love for us is the agape, unconditional, reckless, overwhelming, immeasurable kind of love. And our love for others should be agape too. This is the character of God expressed as fruit of the Spirit, and it only happens by the power of the Spirit. It takes God to love God. So I'd like to spend the last few minutes sharing some of the things that I feel personally that God's been highlighting to us as areas to invest in. So this is my personal view and not a vision for the church as such. These aren't concrete plans, they're just observations. It's nothing to do with staffing, finance or buildings. These are things to pray about. Have a look around with your spiritual eyes open. Where have we seen God moving? And where do you see God moving? It's always a good idea to see where God is at work and get involved. Interestingly, the one word we haven't used very much in this DNA series at the moment is mission. You might think that everything we do is focused around Jesus' mission, so it's a given that it doesn't need to be mentioned too much. But it might be that God's bringing mission back into our minds, into our hearts, into our conversations. It's something that's always on his mind. So the things I'm going to mention now are things that I feel God has highlighted to us as outward activities, the out again. Areas where we are making disciples, where we're loving and blessing Oakham and Rutland. So it's a fact that the group of people in church, our church or any church come to that, who are coming to faith in large numbers is a group that you probably never even think of. So would anyone like to hazard a guess? Which group in church are coming to faith in large numbers? Well done, well done. Statistically, without knowing you personally, I can say confidently that most of you will have come to faith as children or young people, possibly as high as 80%. But only half of those who find faith as children will continue in their faith once they leave home. We recognised several years ago now that God was blessing us with families with children. And we heard 2 weeks ago from Julie that our ministry in schools is flourishing this year, with assemblies being held in 5 schools on a regular basis, reaching hundreds of children and adults. And we've heard from Suzanne how with her influence that things will be changing in the academy that she has contact with. We recognised several years ago now that God was blessing us, I've said that, to reflect this. We're going to be starting a sermon series in September called Investing in Our Children, based around Isaiah 54 verse 13. All your children will be taught by the Lord. And we'll be looking at biblical models of discipling children and finding out what God has to say to us as a church and as parents. We'll be increasing our support for families with children in the summer months, after the services and midweek, with that those fun days that we've got, summer fun that we've got the leaflets for. And we're also supporting a conference for parents and children's workers in Peterborough in September. So number two, God loves it when we respond to needs in our community, in supporting the hungry, the lonely, and the poor. We're answering God's question to us in Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Ministries like CAP, for instance, have a great record in not only releasing people from debt, but also in seeing people come to faith and helping them to deal with addictions and mental illness and all sorts of other issues. Number three, we've seen a lot of new people coming to OBC in the last few years, which we praise God for. That's been a huge blessing to us. And it's God's challenge to us to see them welcomed into our fellowship, making friends, joining small groups, using their gifts in serving in the church and in the community. Alpha's going to be starting in the autumn, and we hope to be welcoming even more new people into the kingdom and maybe into church as well. Be praying about who you can invite. Think about doing the course with them and see Sue and Merv Bamber if you'd like to help, or if you've got questions on the course. They may be here for the second service. Highlight number four. And we've been hearing a lot recently about the relationships that Steve and others have been building in the community, with the council, for example, around the issue of homelessness in particular, and in churches together in Oakham. God loves it when Christians from different traditions pray together. We've heard quite a lot over the last few years of how Isaiah 60 has spoken to us in various ways. But maybe it's time now to put verse 1 into action. Arise, shine. What do you think? Are we ready? How do you feel about that? Well, we know that we have the light inside of us, and we know that we're supposed to shine, we're supposed to be salt and light. But maybe it's that thing about hiding the light under a bushel. Maybe if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, maybe we have to open our doors and windows. Maybe we have to be available to people. Maybe we have to show that light in terms of love towards those around us. Maybe that's what God is saying to us now. And lastly, it follows closely on from Arise, Shine. A couple of weeks ago, you heard Steve and I speaking about word and spirit and how we need a balance of word and spirit in our lives and in church. We need to be balanced, and we need both word and spirit. We can't operate as Christians without the word and spirit working together in our lives. The word and spirit always work together. No matter what you might think, no matter what you think you see around you, the word and spirit always work together. So, who are we then? I said there would be more questions than answers. Where do you see evidence of God at work in us and in our church? What's the evidence? Can people see that we carry God's DNA? Is the evidence discernible in us? Can people outside see God's character or fingerprints on us because of who we are and the things that we do? Let's pray. Father God, we want people to see Jesus when they look at us. We want to be like him. We carry his DNA. It needs to show. He lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there should be evidence of it, of his life in us, his love, his presence, his power, his glory, his mission. Help us, Father, to say yes to your ways. We've considered our ways, Father, and we know that they're not worth thinking about. We say yes to your ways. We are willing and surrendered. We want to be willing and surrendered. We want to be shaped by you. Help us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Julie, thank you so much. I think what Julie shared with us has shown us there are some challenges for the leadership team, and I think it would be good now if we could just pray for the elders, and particularly during the next 3 months, and pray for Steve and Julie, and particularly for that coming together when they come back. It wouldn't be out of character for God to say the same thing to both parties and to come back and have some clear guidance. But let's get right behind them and behind what God wants to do in this church. Can we just pray for Julie and Steve and John? Thank you. Father God, we thank you for these humble, lovely, wonderful people who have given so much of their time and their heart commitment to serve you in this church. Lord, we thank you so much for them. We thank you for Steve and Julie and for the giving of their lives to serve this church and this town and this county. And we pray for them, Lord, for the coming months and for all that you're saying, that they would hear clearly from you what your plan is, what your mission is for our county, and how we can come together with that teamwork that Julie's talked about, that we can be the body of Christ that you have called us to be in this place. I pray against any distraction. We bind the power of the enemy that he is not allowed to operate in this church, in this community of believers. We tell him to leave us alone and get his hand off everything that we're doing. And we ask, Father God, that you would open up your way. Help us not to be distracted, not to turn to the left or the right, but to walk in your purposes. And to find, I guess, a place of your mission in this town, Lord. What is on your heart? And I just pray that you anoint Julie and Steve and John in all that you call them to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.